Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
It's great to have you with us as we start a brand new week here on Dog Nation Daily. Going to be a lot of fun all week long. Chip Towers coming up in just a moment. Before we get to any of that, though, a particularly fun way to start this particular Monday is looking back on a weekend when a couple of UGA signees had really good performances in track and field. And those track performances, I think, give us a little bit of a preview about what both of these guys might provide Georgia once they're on the practice field for the Dogs this summer and obviously competing for playing time here in 2017. And as we see these performances and how fast some of these guys are, it kind of reminds us of what's been said in the past. Particularly, let me start off with Nate McBride, the linebacker from Vidalia, Georgia, who was a big part of Georgia's 2017 signing class, and a guy that I would say pound for pound is among the most popular players coming to Georgia here for 2017. He's one of the guys that gets asked about in the comment section we broadcast on Facebook Live, maybe more so than any other. And he's also one of those guys that you'll hear about on Twitter and in the comment section at DogNation.com, at the forum at DogNation.com. A lot of UGA fans are excited about Nate McBride. And one of the reasons why McBride generates so much excitement among Georgia fans kind of goes back to what was said about him in the Kroger Dog Nation recruiting War Room series, the video that we put out before National Signing Day. I want you to listen to how Jeff Sintel, who you know, Chris Kirshner, who covers Alabama for SECCountry.com, and Jeremy Birmingham, who is our analyst that covers Ohio State for Land of 10, all three of these guys talking about what Nate McBride brings to the table for Georgia for this 2017 class. And the one thing that kept coming up over and over again was the idea of McBride's speed. Here's how those guys said this then.
He's 6'1", about 220. Bench press is 400 pounds, but here's the haymaker stat. He's faster than Nick Chubb, and he's as fast as Mecole Hardman. He's run a 10.5 in the 100, man. They don't build linebackers like that, not even at Alabama. Alabama didn't have a linebacker like that.
No, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, McBride is a big target for Alabama. Linebackers should not be that fast. Like, it should not be humanly possible for a guy his size to run that.
He's got a little Brian Bosworth, like, insane streak to him. You can see it, and that's you know, what you want from that guy in the middle, and he fits the role.
Listen, I'm 40 years old, so I remember Brian Bosworth playing at Oklahoma. I even remember that really weird action movie that he made. What was that called, Jim, in the room with me? Was that Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth, I think? I want to say it's something like that. So Brian Bosworth is a big part of my childhood, certainly as a college football player and kind of an iconic cult figure, even away from the football field. Some of you who are younger than me may not remember Bosworth as a player, but trust me when I tell you, comparing Nate McBride to Bosworth is a tremendous compliment. Also, Jeff Sintel saying that not even Alabama has a linebacker that runs as well as McBride does. Chris Kirshner, who saw all the players at Alabama currently and the ones that Alabama is recruiting, agreeing with that. That's also a tremendous compliment. And Nate McBride goes out and proves that this weekend. Won a couple state championships in Georgia's track and field. In the 200-meter, he goes 21.71 seconds, bringing home a state championship. And then the 100-meter, 10.71 seconds. Amazing speed for a linebacker. Also good for a state championship there as well. And it's, as I said, it's one of the reasons why Georgia fans are so excited about bringing McBride into the fold for the class of 2017 and seeing him on the field this summer, hoping for a chance to get some playing time here this fall. But it's not just McBride who, of the Georgia signees, to win Georgia State track championships this weekend. There was also Trey Bishop as well, who kind of got in on the action, winning his own state championship. Bishop, in the single-A division, ran the 100-meter at 11.11 seconds. He walks away with his own state championship as well. And also one of those guys that you think, well, maybe this summer McBride could be in the mix in that defensive secondary for some playing time. Or as Jeff Sintel suggested when he joined us on Friday, maybe there is still at least some chance at some point there could be a bit of an offensive role for Bishop as well. But he was brought to Georgia to play defensive back. That's the impact that he thinks he has a chance to make. And it reminds me of back at the U.S. Army All-American game when he somewhat surprisingly announced his commitment to UGA. Do you remember when Trey Bishop said this?
All right, if you guys want to check out these Georgia guys in action, make sure you tune into NBC this
Saturday. Wait. We told y'all, Dog Nation, that we was not done.
Never done.
We never done.
Come on.
I want to play with Savage. Commit to the D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Trey Bishop when he surprised some folks in San Antonio when he's made his commitment known in public to the University of Georgia after decommitting a few weeks before that from Auburn. And, of course, you hear the excitement that the other Georgia commits kind of in the room had when Bishop made his announcement publicly. Now, they already knew it, and they kind of sprung the surprise there on the reporter. But the reason why I bring this up is because after Bishop on that day announced that he was coming to Georgia, he also had a bit of a message for Dawg Nation, and that message that he said then certainly rings true right now. Here's what the state champion track star Trey Bishop had as a message for Dawg Nation on the day that he committed to UGA publicly.
Do you have a message for Dawg Nation?
I just want to play with Savages, Dawg Nation. I'm proud to be with my boys. Commit to the G, man. Staying at home.
Y'all better get ready!
Yeah, so at the end there, that's Richard LeCount, who's already on campus and already gone through spring practice, who says y'all better get ready after Trey Bishop lets Dawg Nation know how excited he is about coming to Georgia. And I think Richard LeCount knows that when he tells Georgia fans they ought to get ready, I think LeCount knows that Georgia fans are ready. They're ready for a dose of new blood, new energy, new excitement to be brought into this program. And there are a lot of different reasons why a lot of these 2017 guys are bringing that. On the offensive side of the ball, the offensive linemen that bring that are bringing that because they bring the size that Georgia needs. And, you know, a guy like Richard LeCount maybe bring the leadership that Georgia needs. D'Angelo Gibbs, who's already on campus, he may bring the sort of the polished skill set that Georgia needs. But Georgia needs some more speed, too. Some guys that can really run at a blazing rate. And McBride is a linebacker as fast as they come. That's why so many other schools around the South, including Alabama, wanted him. Trey Bishop, the same way. That's one of the reasons why he was also such a coveted prospect around the South, including Auburn, who wanted to give him a shot at a dual-threat quarterback. Both those guys chose Georgia. And over the weekend, in the state track and field meet, when they showed their state championship speed, it was once again a reason why Georgia fans ought to be very glad to have them in the fold for the class of 2017. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dawg Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Great to have you with us. Back on the radio again here today at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love our radio partner. Also love it for those of you who check us out on video each and every morning at 10 a.m. right here on the Dawg Nation Facebook page. Look forward to showing the show to you on video, also having a chance to interact with you in the comment section. We appreciate that. And, of course, if you like the audio version in podcast form at iTunes or at DawgNation.com, we appreciate you checking in with us on that as well. And speaking of DawgNation.com, you still have a couple of more days. Now, remember, 11:59 p.m. on Friday, this thing shuts down. Your chance to go to DawgNation.com, banner up at the very top of the page. You can click in and enter for your chance to win our Dawg Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend. Of course, this is not just a spot on the Dawg Nation Invasion bus heading from Chicago to South Bend on the day of the big game there that fall September Saturday. This is also your chance to win airfare, lodging, tickets to the big game in South Bend, all of that courtesy of our friends at Kroger. So please go register, get signed up for that. We are going to shut it off on Friday right before midnight, and then we'll announce the winner a couple days after that. And of course, speaking of Kroger, if you're thinking about, you know, graduations, prom season, to the extent that's still going on, whatever special event you have going on here over the course of the spring season, check out Kroger, Kroger.com. They will bring all of that to you. And, of course, we are so grateful to have Kroger doing the Dawg Nation Invasion giveaway to South Bend with us as well. We appreciate that great giveaway from them. Before Chip Towers, let me also give you our Gator Hater countdown. Now, 165 days away from Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party coming up in Jacksonville this October. Here on Dawg Nation Daily, we believe that a good Georgia fan is a Gator Hater first and foremost. That's why we say this every single day. We count down to this game. And if you want to believe that, too, and show that you believe that, the best way for you to do that is to check out shopdognation.com. Get your very own Dawg Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirts. They've got the brand new Dawg Nation Daily logo on the sleeve, the Gator Hater insignia on the front. They've got free shipping for you right there at shopdognation.com. Heard from some of you, some of the bigger sizes were apparently need to restock those. We'll get those taken care of. Those will be in the store for you. We'll make sure we get that done for you. But check out shopdognation.com and you can get your very own Dawg Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt. Hey, it's great to have you with us here on Dawg Nation Daily today, but you also kind of see us sometimes when we're Chip. It's great to have you with us here on Dawg Nation Daily.
from Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And, of course, we will get ready to say hello to Chip Towers. Always fun to have him on Dog Nation Daily. Looking forward to kind of diving into some of the stuff we were just talking about, and also a look ahead to some really good next-generation pieces that Chip's got coming up over the course of the next couple of weeks. And, you know, Chip, let me start with that subject right there, because before you were joining me today, one of the things I was talking about were a couple of those UGA signees, Nate McBride, Trey Bishop. They both go out and kind of win state championships over the weekend in Georgia track and field. And you recently wrote a next-generation piece about Eric Stokes, who's also a big-time speedster himself. And when you really look at that 2017 signing class, especially on the defensive side of the ball, isn't that one of the themes that really emerges, that this is going to be a very speedy defense at UGA in a couple of years once all these guys find their way onto the field?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you, Brandon, as I have made my way around Georgia and beyond, you know, to profile these kids for the Next Generation series, I can definitely tell you that I've seen a difference, you know, kind of in the makeup of the athlete, certainly, that Georgia is recruiting under Kirby Smart. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead. I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse, but, you know, they're just impressive on, you know, on the lineman side, really from size and strength, and on the skill player side, you know, on speed. Speed is definitely, you know, exceptional across the board. And you mentioned a couple of them there. You know, Trey Bishop, you know, wins his race. Nate McBride wins three championships. Eric Stokes, you know, he's probably the fastest guy in the entire class of 17. Pulled a hamstring, still tried to gut it out and run the 100 meters in the state championship and finished second in a photo finish in 10.65. But you got to think, you know, he just ran a 10.39 a week earlier in qualifying, and he was, you know, eyeing like the state record. That guy's pure speed. You know, speaking of speed, the kid Amir Speed down in Jacksonville, who I've yet had a chance to visit with, is speed personified, never mind, you know, perfectly named.
Exactly.
So, yeah, a lot of speed and a lot of strength, and I'm really impressed with what I've seen for the 2017 class on all those fronts.
Absolutely. And another one of the guys that you talked about and talked to recently, it was a piece at DogNation.com that if people haven't had a chance to see yet, I hope they do get a chance to read it, was the Next Generation piece with Andrew Thomas, the big offensive tackle and a part of that big, impressive group of offensive linemen here for 2017. And as I was reading that piece, one of the things that stuck out to me was, in addition to Thomas as a player, is how his time at Pace Academy, which for the people who are listening to us in Georgia know, is one of the truly elite institutions in the state of Georgia. The fact that he makes the long commute there every day and is a part of that rigorous curriculum, you got to think that if Thomas goes on to have a great career at Georgia, both athletically and scholastically, that time at Pace probably does a lot to prepare him for that, right?
Well, it does, because when you talk about Pace being an elite school, it's an elite school primarily academically. It's all actually only been in recent years that they've really made the strides that they have kind of as an athletic institution, and that has a lot to do with guys like Andrew Thomas, you know, coming there, and his teammate, another Georgia signee, who also went to Pace.
Trey Blunt.
Yeah, thank you very
much. No
yeah,
problem.
Thank you,
yeah.
Trey Blunt. Both of them going there, they won the state championship last year, and they took a little bit of a step back this year. But, yeah, you know, in both those cases, Trey Blunt and Andrew Thomas, you're talking about parents making a tremendous sacrifice in order for their kids to be able to attend a school like that. And essentially, when you're going to a private school of that ilk, you're going to a university. I mean, it's complete college prep, you know, they were getting themselves ready for the next step. And I think both of those guys, not only are they going to bring something to Georgia from an athletic standpoint, but they're going to be well academically grounded, you know, to handle the rigors of the University of Georgia education as well.
As far as Thomas as a football player goes, you know, before Isaiah Wilson committed to UGA, Thomas was sort of like the embodiment of Georgia's efforts at getting better along the offensive line, and he was the big coveted tackle commit before Wilson kind of came into the fold. And yet, you get the impression that even with Wilson, who was the five-star, while Thomas was just a very high four-star, you get the impression that there are probably some people who think that Thomas, because he may have a little bit better control of his weight, maybe his weight's kind of a little bit better distributed here before he starts his college career, that maybe he's in as good a position, or maybe in some minds a slightly better position to compete right away than Isaiah Wilson is. I don't know how much you've even kind of thought ahead to this yet, but, I mean, how much of a chance do you give Andrew Thomas in terms of playing during his freshman season?
Well, I would buy into that for sure. And, you know, be clear, you know, all of these guys, Georgia originally signed six offensive linemen. I think five will actually end up showing up on campus the 1st of June. And all of these guys were recruited to compete right away. You know, Notori Johnson, Justin Schaefer, all these guys are exceptional, and big offensive linemen. But Andrew Thomas, I do believe, you know, is going to be a little bit more refined, probably a little stronger fundamentally. He's had very strong, you know, coaching there at Pace Academy under Chris Slade, a former Virginia player, and he's got a terrific offensive coordinator there at that school. You know, I think he's going to be strong. You know, certainly Isaiah Wilson is you know, he's the five-star guy. He got the national notice. You know, he's big. You know, he's huge, 6'7", 350 pounds. So physically, he looks like he would be more ready to step in there. But there are also, you know, there are also a lot of fundamentals involved. And my understanding on Andrew Thomas, between just being intelligent to start with, but also his training, a lot of camps over the years, you know, really good on footwork. I would look for him to compete for playing time at that right tackle position, you know, right off the bat.
I know that you've got a lot of these other next-generation pieces that are coming up really soon. I talked about Trey Bishop to start the show. Sounds like you've got a piece coming up on Bishop here as well. Over the course of the next few weeks, can you give us an idea of some of these guys that we may be hearing from at DogNation.com?
Well, you know, I got about four of them. I started to say in the can, but they're, you know, in the can means I'd be done with them. And unfortunately, that's not the case right now. But, you know, Devontae Wyatt, Walter Grant, Trey Bishop, William Poole are all profiles that I'm actively working on right now. Now, we're about to run out of time. I'm not sure we'll get to everybody, which was my ambitious pursuit from the beginning. These guys are about to be on campus. Most of them are showing up on the University of Georgia campus May 27th, May 28th or so. But we're still actively out there trying to catch up with some of these guys we haven't been able to at this point. But, yeah, the ones I mentioned just then, Devontae Wyatt, Walter Grant, Trey Bishop, and William Poole, again, fall into that category. Very exceptional athletes, you know, across the board, and all of them have great stories to tell, and I look forward to telling them.
Kind of a weird story going on with UGA tennis, and Chip, I'll admit, I don't know a lot about tennis. I'm not a big tennis fan. I'm not disrespecting the sport. That's just not something that I follow all that closely. So I don't really understand what might have happened with some of these UGA coaches and kind of where things stand here. I know that, you know, based on what's been written at DogNation.com, information maybe kind of be limited here, but what can you fill us in on about exactly what's going on here with UGA tennis?
Well, you know, in terms of information, you know, Georgia is on full lockdown, you know, over this situation, which, you know, obviously when you're talking about the associate head coaches for the respective top 10 tennis programs that are currently in the midst of not only competing in the NCAA tournament, but hosting the NCAA championships, are indefinitely suspended. You know, it's extremely serious. There's an ongoing investigation, I can tell you that, and I would imagine information will be coming out sooner or later. But you just know it's a serious situation for those guys to have to step to the side right in the middle of the busiest time in the world of the year. And let me say this, you know, as far as tennis, I know that, you know, generally, you know, Georgia fans out there, you know, aren't generally tennis fans, but you know, I've covered a lot of athletics over my 30 years in the business. And, you know, I would probably say my favorite event to cover of all is Augusta and the Masters. You know, it's just that, sure, for me personally, that is just the best, you know, in terms of how it is to cover it as a journalist and then the action on the field and all that. right up there in my top five for sure is the NCAA tennis tournament. And if people can get over to Athens during this, it's just really, it's a really cool event. Team tennis is so different than anything else that we know about tennis, certainly on the professional circuit. It's such a team-oriented sport. It's fun to watch. Every point is, dramatic, it seems like, and great teams come together. In Georgia, when they host it, first off, they know how to host it better than anybody else because they've been doing it since Dan McGill was a young man. And then secondly, you know, the crowd is just totally into it. So it's just, it's an electric atmosphere. And I would suggest anybody who hadn't had a chance, including Brandon Adams,
sure,
to get over to Athens, you know, one day when Georgia's competing in the team competition and check out what it's all about because it's a really cool event. And anybody can follow it. It's easy to pick up on real fast.
Chip, that's a great recommendation. I think a lot of us would do well to kind of get out there and see that, including myself, because I would be curious to see the kind of atmosphere that surrounds an event like that. I'll also tell you, I don't know much about gymnastics either, but that's not going to stop me from giving an opinion on the hire that was recently made with Courtney Coupetz, who I guess is Courtney Coupetz Carter now. And Chip, here's what I said about this at the time, that to me, this is a window into not just how Georgia operates gymnastics, but how it operates everything. And there's an element of hiring a 30-year-old who's never been a head coach before, bringing back the legendary coach as a volunteer assistant, that to me feels like Georgia maybe not playing the game at the highest level, not going out and spending big on somebody else who's doing well in gymnastics at another program. This feels maybe safer. This also maybe feels like appeasing a big-time donor who might have a relationship with Suzanne Yocklin. I mean, there's an element of this that, even though I don't know much about it, sort of kind of doesn't really strike me as the way that Georgia should be doing things. You're much more of an expert on this than I am. You were there to kind of hear all the interested parties talk about this when the hire was made. What am I getting wrong about the gymnastics hire that Georgia just made?
Well, you know, I don't know that you're getting anything wrong. I mean, I share certainly some of your observations. And Seth Emerson did a good piece, you know, kind of examining Georgia's inward tendency on hires, certainly in recent years. Of course, some of the where they went outside haven't gone all that well. Dana Durante, the recently fired gymnastics coach, being one of those. You know, as I got closer to it and examined it and everything, though, I came away, I mean, I have a feeling this could work. I mean, you know, the gymnastics community is such a kind of a closed, small community. And Courtney Coupetz, you know, certainly she has Carter now. No hyphen, we've learned. It's not Coupetz Carter, but for your information. But, you know, you don't get any bigger than Courtney Coupetz. And so I can see how this could work and certainly what they were thinking. But, yeah, you would. You know, there is no program, you know, bigger in gymnastics in its history than the University of Georgia is. Possibly Utah over the long haul, but or UCLA. But, I mean, you know, Georgia won 10 national championships under Suzanne Yocklin. And so, you know, you would think that Georgia could go out and hire anybody they wanted to. And I suspect they could. But the fact that they went in this direction was certainly a little bit of out-of-box thinking. But the reality is we're not going to know for 3 or 4 years down the road what the impact is. My concerns would be certainly Coupetz has a name recognition factor. You know, she's an impressive individual, impressive resume, smart person, certainly knows her gymnastics. But at the end of the day, you got to get out and recruit. And I think that's what Georgia really missed in Jay Clark, and what Jay Clark has brought to LSU since he left is his recruiting acumen. I don't know who that's going to be, who's going to be the first face out there recruiting kids, because that's what at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. And I know Courtney Coupetz doesn't have any recruiting experience at this point. She'll certainly learn, and I'm sure she'll be good at it eventually, but she's going to be learning on the fly. And the Suzanne Yocklin factor, you know, she's a dynamo. I mean, it's not a small thing that she's going to be on campus. She can actually talk to parents and she can host them when they come on campus. So I think it's a big deal that she's going to be, you know, intimately and directly involved again. That's probably the biggest factor, in my opinion, out of the whole deal.
Let me squeeze in one quick final question, if you don't mind. You know, a lot of the national attention on Georgia, the football team, I mean, by the way, this offseason is going to be centered around how much better does Jacob Eason get, Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel, their decision to return. But I'm really watching a lot of the Georgia fan commentary on the team, and Boy, you get the sense that, Chip, that a lot of these UJ fans are kind of content for this to be a team led by its defense this season. And to the extent that I hear confidence coming from Georgia fans, I really hear that coming from the perspective of the defense. A lot of these fans believe that this is going to be a very good Georgia team this season. It sounds like they're okay with this being a Georgia team led by the defense, and then the offense can kind of figure out how much better it wants to be. But Georgia fans expect the wins that come to maybe come because of a pretty dominant defense. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree with it 100%. I mean, you know, this is a defense that returns 28 Lettermen overall as it is, and you know, they're just not – any Letterman. I mean, I can quickly run down the list of Georgia players, and not just starters. I'm not just talking about the starters. I'm talking about some of the players that are roll in and rotated in and that kind of stuff. And you can easily come up with 11, 12 players who I would put in the category of potential all-conference players, and that's a big deal. And just based on what we know they're going through on offense, you know, still a young quarterback and a sophomore, Jacob Eason, and obviously, you know, in a transitive state on the offensive line, I don't think you can necessarily, you know, expect, you know, you're going to have a high-powered offense to go out there and you know, outscore everybody. That's not going to be the way. If Georgia's going to be successful this year, it's going to be because of what the defense does. And look, it's an old-school formula, but it can be done if you have a dominant defense. And I think, you know, a very important side note to that is good special teams. But defense and special teams can get you through. I mean, I think that's where Georgia is going to have to be strong early. They got to shore up really early. Now, going back to the recruiting stuff we were talking about earlier, the makeup of this recruiting class tells me, I think there's going to be enough of these guys that could be difference makers on special teams. When you're talking about returns, when you're talking about coverage, to make them special on special teams, and then you add to that the defense, when you're talking about a front seven that I think is going to be among the best in the league, got to be, then you've got a chance to beat anybody you play. And I think that's the way Georgia's made up. That's what I'm seeing.
Hey, Chip, really good stuff. We appreciate your time here on Dog Nation Daily. Looking forward to everything you've got coming up at dognation.com. And, of course, we'll look forward to also talking to you here again on our show again very soon.
See you next time.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always enjoy Chip Towers on Dog Nation Daily. Make sure you check him out at dognation.com. And while I'm in the busy habit of promoting things, let me also remind you to check out SEC Country Live today, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the SEC Country Facebook page with myself and the former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson. We'll talk about all the big stories coming up in the SEC today at 3 p.m. on SEC Country Live. And speaking of the big stories in the SEC, we've got those also coming up for you on the SEC Through here as well. Before that, though, you know, Dog Nation Invasion to South Bend, one of our big sponsors, R.S. Andrews. And I want you to think about R.S. Andrews this summer because they're the home of the guaranteed $99 AC tune-up. And listen, you know, last year, maybe a little bit of a mild summer. Maybe you thought, hey, maybe Georgia's going to get cooler now. Well, you know that's not going to last forever. It's going to be very hot this summer, and if you're not careful, your air conditioning may go out on the hottest day of the summer. That's just how these things kind of work out. The way that you can plan to avoid that, though, is checking out R.S. Andrews and get their very own $99 air conditioning tune-up. Their clean, screened, trained, and timely techs will give your system a thorough check and guarantee it all summer. So don't let it slide. Call the ones I trust, R.S. Andrews, online at rsandrews.com. All right, a lot of stories I want to run through here for the SEC Through. Let me start with this. Woody Barrett, the former Auburn quarterback, we brought his story to you last week here during the SEC Through. He has transferred from Auburn. He's found a new home. It is Copia Lincoln Junior College in the state of Mississippi. Now, Barrett has already said that his next intention after spending a year at junior college is to kind of bounce back into the SEC, playing somewhere else. And there is an element of this that I find kind of juicy because this may be Auburn getting a taste of its own medicine. Auburn, who has reveled in having quarterbacks that used to play at other SEC schools. Cam Newton was at Florida. Nick Marshall, not as a quarterback, but spent time as a part of Georgia's class. And, you know, these guys leave there, go on to start at quarterback for Auburn. How much fun would it be to finally see Auburn kind of go up against one of their former own as well? Barrett playing the SEC against Auburn. There's a schadenfreude element of this that I wouldn't mind seeing this in the very near future. Interesting College Game Day going to be in Atlanta for the season opener. Alabama, Florida State. This is obviously not a huge surprise. Alabama, Florida State, as good as any season opening game I can remember. As much as I'd love to see Georgia in that brand new Mercedes-Benz Stadium to kind of start that building's tenure off, there is something that sort of seems appropriate about two of these programs that have won national championships here in recent years, meeting there in Alabama. And obviously it's kind of nice to have College Game Day in our city, at least if you live in Atlanta. I mean, if you live all over the world, but I live in Atlanta, so it's kind of nice to have College Game Day in my city for Alabama, Florida State to start the season. By the way, the Jim McElwain person that looks like Jim McElwain on top of a shark, apparently that mystery has been solved. The Orlando Sentinel had this on Friday. We had this in the comment section on Facebook Live after the show was over. Apparently this has been identified now as not being McElwain, but being a New York City police officer. Now, I haven't seen these photos yet, but this guy better look exactly like Jim McElwain. Now, supposedly, the police officer who is on top of the shark with no clothes on doesn't want to come public because he's fearful for his life. I totally get that. Some of these PETA people are crazy. You think these SEC college football fans are crazy? Compare that to some of the stuff these animal activists put on Twitter. Yeah, this guy probably should, you know, keep his identity hidden as long as he possibly can. But when it does come public, I want to see a side-by-side with Jim McElwain. He better look just like him because pretty clearly I think the guy on the shark looks like McElwain, which is not to say I think that it is McElwain because I don't. I'm just saying that it looks a lot like McElwain. That's one of the reasons why this became such a viral story, because the resemblance is just that noticeable. A few recruiting stories I want to hit here pretty quick in the SEC through. Owen Popoe, the 2019 star from Grayson, he's released his top 10. Most of this is all the usual suspects. UGA is in the mix here, though. You know, what potentially scares you if you're a Georgia fan, though, is the amount of time that other schools have been kind of spending around Grayson here as of late. Grayson High School is where Popoe goes. Florida State's been heavily involved there. Georgia did win with D'Angelo Gibbs last year, but has lost a lot of high-profile prospects at Grayson High School in the past. We'll kind of see how this goes. But Popoe is calling UGA one of his top 10 at the moment. Quay Walker, the linebacker from Crisp County, the former teammate of Marcavius Big Cat Bryant, thought it was interesting that that Walker showed up in an SEC country piece on the Florida page. He's anxious to go out and take a visit to Florida there for whatever reason. Georgia not really in the mix on Quay Walker. It seems like he is heavily considering other SEC schools. You probably remember he replaced Georgia with South Carolina's top five recently. Speaking of South Carolina, a report comes out of the state in Columbia that the Gamecocks most likely going to be a finalist for wide receiver Josh Van. That's the wide receiver from Tucker, Georgia. It's a four-star prospect. It's one of those guys that could potentially fill that slot receiver role for Georgia, kind of some of the stuff that Isaiah McKenzie did on 2016. Georgia didn't really get that guy with the 2017 class, focused more on kind of the big receivers. I guess there was a thought that Van could be that guy, but Georgia's going to have to battle it out with South Carolina to get him, and this is going to be one of those head-to-head showdowns between two good friends, Smart for Georgia and, of course, Will Muschamp for South Carolina. One more recruiting story I want to get to for the SEC through. Tennessee gets a big win. Four-star quarterback Adrian Martinez commits to the Vols here. And, you know, we've obviously mocked and made fun of Tennessee for, you know, the three-star collection of guys they brought in for the class of 2017. It's important to note they're doing a better job. And right now, Tennessee doing a little better job for the class of 2018. Certainly doing a better job than Georgia. So credit where credit's due there. Tennessee gets its quarterback for the class of 2018. Georgia's still looking for its, and we'll make that your SEC through. All right, as we wrap up the show here today on Dog Nation Daily, want to send a couple of words of congratulations out. First of all, the Georgia baseball team, who leaped ahead of Tennessee for that final spot in the SEC tournament this weekend after taking 2 of 3 from Mississippi State. Now, Tennessee, I guess, goes out and gets swept on the road at Kentucky. Pretty good Kentucky team. Kentucky, who Georgia had won the series with last weekend, also helped Georgia by beating the Vols this weekend. So now you got a Georgia baseball team that all of a sudden playing a little better and keeping its faint postseason hopes here alive with victories against Mississippi State and some wins last weekend against Kentucky and, of course, the season sweep of Georgia Tech kind of in the middle of all that there. Also, some congratulations goes out to the Georgia softball team as well, which did not qualify for the SEC tournament because of how deep the SEC as a league, but does get selected for the NCAA tournament. In the Tallahassee region, they'll play Jacksonville State from Alabama. So congratulations to both those teams, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Dog Nation Daily.